The title of today's message is The Constitution of Your Heart. The Constitution of Your Heart. Well, I hope all of you had a safe trip here on your way to services today. Many of us travel considerable distances to come here on the Sabbath. We're hitting the roads and driving alongside vehicles from all over the country. Every car on the road has its license plate, and each plate highlights its state's distinct character. Let's consider for a second the three states that border Connecticut. In Massachusetts, the plates read the Spirit of America. In New York, they declare the Empire State, while in Rhode Island, they claim to be the Ocean State. But here in Connecticut, our license plate bears the name Constitution State. Until recently, I didn't really understand what that meant. Why were we given this title of Constitution State? Well, the reason Connecticut claims this title goes way back before the American Revolution, to its founding in 1639. The settlers of Connecticut did something the world had never seen before. They are credited for creating the first and the earliest constitution in history, not just American history, in world history. The document they created is called the Fundamental Orders, and the original documents are on display in Hartford in the Museum of Connecticut History, if anyone's interested in seeing them. I know I am. I'm going to have to take a trip out there to visit those documents. The early settlers understood the need for a fundamental law, a constitution, a document that provided a legal framework to guide the colonies into the future. So why the title Constitution State? So while the title of the Constitution State points us to these amazing historical documents, it also provides a great reminder for our own spiritual lives. You see, just as the settlers required a constitution to guide them in the strange new world they found themselves in, we too are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That we too require a constitution or a set of laws to guide us and prepare us for the kingdom of God. So, brethren, today we're going to continue to pull the string, this historical thread, if you will, and focus on three principles used by the early settlers that parallel our own spiritual walk with Christ. The first one is trust God's word. Trust God's word. This is the first principle, and it's for an obvious reason. We somewhat touched on it. When we consider the origins of the fundamental orders, they point us back to a sermon that was given in 1638 by the Reverend Thomas Hooker, who's considered to be the founding father of Connecticut. He gave a sermon proclaiming that the foundation of authority is laid in the free consent of the people. His messages stirred the settlers so much so, he told them that the community's survival depended on having a written document, a permanent code that would drive the foundation of the state. And he said, without this foundation, there would be no stability, nor freedom or liberty. So then it should be no surprise to all of us that these founders looked at the Bible. They read the Bible and they used the Bible as the basis for this fundamental order. They trusted in God's word. They understood, just as we do, that a governing principle based on the word of God would be like a house built upon a rock, solid and immovable. Let's turn to Psalm 119 and verse 89. Here we find a case being made for this first principle. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Psalm 119 and verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you give me life." Here the psalmist looks upon the heavens and the earth. He observes the stars and they stay in their course. He observes the earth, it remains firm beneath our feet. And they recognize it's not by an accident. It happens because God established it. God provides the laws that govern the planets, the earth, and everything in it. In His word, if His word is strong enough to hold the universe together, it is certainly strong enough to sustain each of us. This was understood by the settlers, that without God's word, the universe and the life it sustains would be chaos and affliction. So then, just as the settlers needed a written constitution to survive and to thrive, it is the word of God which should be the constitution of our heart. When the world changes and the culture around us shifts, the written word of God remains constant. God's word gives life because it provides boundaries that protect us and a foundation that supports us. So then, brethren, do we trust in God's word? Or do we trust in the shifting preferences of the world we live in? One thing is certain. When we choose to trust and live by God's written word, He blesses us. He blesses us in this life, and He prepares us for eternal life. Let's consider the second principle and the reason the settlers decided to write the Constitution. This was very important for them, and it was a concept that was new to the entire world. The second principle is that we must secure our liberty. We must secure our liberty. We often think of freedom as a license to do whatever we want. But Thomas Hooker understood, he had a different understanding, just like we do. He knew that liberty without a moral foundation would lead to ruin. And in his famous sermon in 1638, he argued that our God-given liberty was a sacred trust. He told the people, as God has given us liberty, let us take it. For Hooker, liberty was the freedom to be who God created us to be, without the yoke of human oppression. We have to remember that in the 1600s, the world was ruled by kings and monarchs. Liberty was radical, and it was a radical and dangerous concept. True liberty meant that each of us were responsible for ourselves before God, not government or a king, but rather as individuals we were called to fear the Lord. So then, freedom isn't the right to do whatever we want, but the liberty to do what is right without fear of retribution. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Please turn there. Galatians 5, 1. Galatians 5, 1 is a powerful, powerful verse here. It calls for us to remain anchored in the freedom that Christ provides. But it also reminds us that we cannot take the freedom lightly. We must understand that freedom, what it truly means. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Brethren, God has granted us a charter of liberty through the blood of Jesus Christ. And like Hooker said, we must take it. We must secure our spiritual liberty. We must walk according to the perfect law of liberty, or we will find ourselves entangled in the bondage of sin. To secure our liberty, we must be vigilant and steadfast. We cannot let the shifting values of this world we live in pull us back into bondage. In order to secure liberty, we must remain faithful to our Savior and to our God. And this leads us to consider the last historical principle of this message. And that is, God sustains us. God sustains us. This principle is not found on a license plate or in the state constitution, but rather we can find it on a state flag. It is alluded to in the motto that's written on the flag, which is in Latin. I'm going to attempt to pronounce it now. Quae transtulit sustinit. Sounds good, right? Which translates to, he who transplanted still sustains. He who transplanted still sustains. The founders of Connecticut chose this model because they saw their lives played a direct parallel with the history of Israel. They believed that just as God moved his people from a land of bondage to the promised land, that they were moved to a new world for a divine purpose. They saw themselves as a vine that God had uprooted from Europe and replanted in the rocky soil of New England. This is also why the state flag bears the image of three grapevines on its seal. The state model acknowledges God's divine assistance and attributes the establishment of the colony to the power of God. But it also acknowledges the state's growth and blessings to God's providence. The model has been on the Connecticut state seal since 1639 and is believed to be based on Psalm 80, verse 8. Let's turn to Psalm 80 and verse 8. Psalm 80 and verse 8. This psalm provides powerful imagery that depicts this history of Israel as a vine that was transplanted and tended to by God. It captures the exodus from the land of bondage to a land filled with milk and honey. Psalm 80 in verse 8, it says, "You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land." If we think about this imagery in this verse, it says God cleared the ground for the vine. He didn't just toss the vine onto the rocks and then walk away. He prepared the soil. He ensured it took deep root so that it could fill the land. Brethren, like these early settlers, we too must trust that God sustains us. In our lives, we often focus on the stress that's being thrust upon us. We're always stressed about moves and changes or work or family issues. But the second half of this state model reminds us that if we are transplanted, if he transplants us, he sustains us. Whether we are a lifelong member of the church or recently transplanted into the congregation, we need to recognize that Christ is preparing a place for each of us. He is working in our circumstances to help us grow spiritually. We are not here by accident. We are vines planted here at this time and this place by design. The same God who sustained the settlers through difficult challenges when they landed here in this state is the God who will sustain us through the seasons of our lives. Looking back at our state's history demonstrates that when people honor God and establish a proper foundation of governance, he sustains them. We must remember that Christ is the true vine and the Father is the gardener, and it is God that sustains us. So as we begin to close this message, let us carry with us the true meaning of our identity, not just as residents of or guests of the state of Connecticut, but as fellow ambassadors of Christ. And the next time you read the words on the license plate, I want you to remember these three principles. The first is that we trust God's word. As I said, just as our state was established on a written code, our lives are governed by the fundamental orders of Scripture. When the world is in chaos, we can be steady because we stand on an unchanging word, the word of God, and it gives us life. The second is that you must secure your liberty. You must secure your liberty. Remember that freedom, the freedoms that we enjoy were bought with a price. Do not allow ourselves to be entangled again by the sins of this world. We are called to take it, and that requires us to take action, to walk with Christ and allow the perfect law of liberty to guide us. We must stand fast in the liberty that Christ has given us. And so the third reminder is a reminder that God sustains us. When we feel overwhelmed by the challenges of life, consider the state model that says he who transplants will sustain. We are part of God's vine. He has cleared the ground for us. He has planted us, and he is causing us to bear a deep root. He did not transplant us here at this moment to let us wither. He brought us here to sustain us, to bear fruit, and to prepare for his kingdom. So then, brethren, like the early settlers, we should be encouraged that we serve a God who provides us a foundation for life in his word. He gives us liberty to worship and a hand that holds us steady and sustains us through every season of our life. Therefore, brethren, may the constitution of your heart be founded upon the word of the living God.